This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. This week, Republicans in the state legislature passed a series of bills limiting the power of the state's governor and attorney general in an extraordinary session. Governor Walker has yet to sign those bills, but has indicated support in general. Democrats and even a few Republicans are pressuring Walker to veto the legislation. Governor-elect Tony Evers has requested a meeting to talk about the bills. He said that if they are signed into law, his administration will consider taking measures to court. Laurel White is WPR's state capitol reporter. Laurel, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, it's been a long week, especially for state capitol reporters like you, Laurel. What are the latest developments that you're keeping an eye on Friday now?
So the things that we're keeping an eye on today are primarily, you know, when is Governor Walker going to sign this legislation? If he is going to sign it, if he's going to veto any of it, and just kind of the continued debate surrounding that that signing. As you mentioned, you know, Governor-elect Evers is reaching out to Governor Walker, encouraging him to not sign the legislation, to veto it entirely, as are a number of other groups. And we're also keeping an eye on those lawsuits that you mentioned, you know, who might be filing suit against what part of these extraordinary session bills. I mean, there was quite a bit in there. So there are a number of things that could end up in court next year.
And today we've seen the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau put out their analysis of the bills passed by lawmakers. Now, usually they do this in the midst of the legislative process, and then lawmakers look at their cost estimates and things like that as they consider the legislation. Why are we seeing this one after the votes are already cast?
Well, you know, this legislation moved pretty quickly. It's not unheard of for bills to move through the state legislature pretty fast in certain instances, but I think that was a common refrain that we heard from particularly Democratic lawmakers during the debate, in the wee hours of Wednesday morning was they hadn't gotten these documents yet, and they had a lot of questions and wanted some more sort of plain language explanations of what's in the bills and also the fiscal implications of the bills. So we have gotten those sort of after the fact. And we've been able to identify some things that weren't really focused on during the debate or during the lead up to these bills making it to the floor. So they've certainly been interesting documents to look through now that all the bills are on Governor Walker's desk.
Now, one item that we haven't talked about on Central Time, it kind of got buried by all the specific measures. Also this week, votes to confirm some of Governor Walker's appointments. 82 of them. Do I have that right?
That's right. 82 appointments. So this was something that happened pretty early on Tuesday. It was kind of the first thing that the Senate took up when they went to the floor. And a lot of these appointments are for things that people probably aren't familiar with, you know, things like the Wisconsin Health and Educational Facilities Authority or the Dentistry Examining Board, the Medical Examining Board, things like that. But the ones that really stuck out to us as reporters, there was an appointment to the Public Service Commission. That's the body that approves rate hikes for utilities, things like that. Ellen Nowak, who had previously been a commissioner and then moved over to be Governor Walker's secretary in the Department of Administration, he reappointed her back to the PSC now that he's leaving. And the governor also appointed Scott Bechtel to the University of Wisconsin System Board of Regents to replace outgoing Regent Brian Steil, who's of course now going to be the representative replacing Congressman Paul Ryan in the 1st Congressional District. So those are kind of a couple big ones. And I think not just their visibility or their high profile, but those are also appointments that are going to last potentially after Governor-elect Evers leaves office. These are appointments that go through 2023. So if Governor-elect Evers doesn't run for another term or doesn't win another term after this current one, these folks will still be in these positions appointed by Governor Walker.
Are people raising these appointments as part of a theme of establishing things that Governor-elect Evers can't do when he takes office?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a big theme of the extraordinary session, was sort of doing things to either protect Republican legislative accomplishments, things that they thought were particularly important or meaningful, from interference by Governor-elect Evers when he takes office, or sort of getting some things done so they couldn't be done by the governor-elect when he takes office in January.
What's been the tone since that overnight session? Are we hearing any efforts at conciliation from either party saying, okay, we've got this behind us now, maybe we can find ways to work together?
You know, that's been a message from, I think, both sides throughout this process. When there was the first sort of inklings of conversation of potentially limits on Governor-elect Evers' powers, they were very vague. We didn't know what was going on. Evers said, I'm going to wait and see, kind of, you know, in good faith, see what lawmakers are discussing before I weigh in on this. And legislative leaders, even during debate on Tuesday and Wednesday, said, you know, we understand that we're going to have to work with Governor-elect Evers. We just want to put these measures into place so we feel like we're on an equal playing field and he doesn't have an undue amount of power when he takes office. So I think that conversation of working together in a bipartisan manner has been happening since the beginning. What that actually looks like in practice, we're going to have to wait and see until January.
And on the other hand, we've heard things from the leaders, Voss and Fitzgerald. This guy's really liberal and we're really worried that he's going to, you know, upset our agenda. So some conciliation talk, but definitely some partisan talk in this process as well.
Absolutely. They've, you know, Senator Fitzgerald said that he doesn't trust Governor-elect Evers, and he does believe that he has some pretty liberal policies. And both of the legislative leaders have said they're concerned about those policies being enacted and some of their accomplishments being taken away, the things that they've been able to do over the past 8 years with Governor Walker.
We're talking to WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White about bills passed this week during an extraordinary session of the legislature. They're now waiting for Governor Walker's signature, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your take on this? Do you think Governor Walker should veto any or all of these pieces of legislation? Do you think he will? What do you want to see from Governor-elect Evers when he comes into office? Do you see room for cooperation after this rocky start, even before Inauguration Day? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We're talking to Laurel White, WPR State Capitol reporter, about the extraordinary session of the legislature this week and the bills now on Governor Walker's desk that would limit some powers of Governor-elect Tony Evers and incoming Attorney General Josh Call. You can join in at 800-642-1234. We'll go to our callers now. Cindy is with us in Germantown. Cindy, hi.
Hi.
What do you think, Cindy?
I think it's wrong for the Republicans to try to control an office, well, actually both offices of Josh Call and Tony Evers. They were voted out of positions of Attorney General and Governor. I mean, the Republicans were voted out, so they need to let the Democrats elect Tony Evers and Josh Call do their job. And I would also like to see the incoming governor-elect Tony Evers expand Medicaid that was offered under the ACA, and I'd also like to see him withdraw from the lawsuit as well to get rid of ACA.
Cindy, thanks a lot for the call. And Laurel, these new laws make it harder for Governor-elect Evers to do both of those things Cindy just mentioned, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's absolutely the case. So under current law, the state attorney general would be able to remove the state from lawsuits like the one pending against the ACA with gubernatorial approval. The new extraordinary session bills that passed this week shift that from gubernatorial approval to legislative approval, and particularly for the state budget committee, or specifically the state budget committee. And that committee is currently has a 12-4 majority with Republicans to Democrats. So it's very, very unlikely that they would approve such a move by Attorney General Call.
Thanks for the call, Cindy. We'll go next to Joe in Princeton. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Joe?
Well, before the election, Walker said he was going to call a special session after the election to consider the $100 million bailout of Kimberly Clark. He didn't want to do it before the election. And now, in the special session, it was never brought up at all, and I can't figure out why not. Why was it never discussed even? And there was certainly no bill. And do you know what happened to that?
Joe, thanks. Laurel, what happened to the Kimberly Clark incentive package?
So the Kimberly-Clark incentive package passed the state assembly in February, I believe, so pretty quickly after the governor introduced it. The issue always with that package and why it was discussed for a special session or an extraordinary session after the election was the state Senate. It just had to get through the Senate before it could go to Governor Walker for his signature. And that was part of the back and forth leading up to this extraordinary session. We talked to Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald multiple times to see how negotiations were going in the Senate, if he could get more senators on board to get it to pass now versus, you know, before the election. And it continued to be a problem for him. He told us just a couple days before the session that he only had, I believe, 11 senators on board. And of course, you need several more than that to pass legislation in the Senate. So basically what it came down to is it didn't come to the floor because Republicans weren't able to get enough support within their own party. And Democrats said that there wasn't enough work done by Republicans to get them to come on board, to get them to vote for it and make it bipartisan. So basically, it just didn't have enough support in the state Senate to pass. Now, Governor Walker did tweet today, and he said that he's going to look into ways without the legislature to offer some form of incentive to Kimberly-Clark. That would probably be through the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, which wouldn't require legislative approval. So we'll have to keep an eye on that in the coming weeks.
And on the list of things we're keeping an eye on, of course, is Governor Walker signing all these new pieces of legislation from the extraordinary session. Has he given us clues as to whether or not he's going to sign these?
He hasn't. We talked to him before the session when we just had a general idea about these bills. And a few specific things that would be included. And he indicated that he was fairly open to considering signing. There have been a number of individuals and groups that have come out since the package passed the legislature urging the governor not to sign. So it'll be interesting how he weighs that input going forward versus the arguments that are coming from the legislative leaders in the legislature.
And we've gotten hints from the governor-elect. It looks like that, at least for some of these pieces of legislation, if they are signed, lawsuits are on the way.
Absolutely. So I actually spoke to One Wisconsin Institute, which challenged the state on a variety of voting-related laws and won a federal lawsuit in 2016 on those laws. And they said that they're working already to try to identify what a lawsuit would look like for them going forward, particularly as it relates to early voting restrictions that were passed in this package of legislation. There are others that are also talking about lawsuits that have to do with the separation of powers. So, arguing that lawmakers really overstepped their bounds in prescribing the duties of the attorney general or the governor in this legislative package. So it's going to be interesting what lawsuits come out in the coming weeks, months, year ahead, and what those arguments are.
Laurel, thanks a lot for joining us again and all the work you've done this week and every other week. But this has been a big week.
It's been a big week. It's my pleasure to join you, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is WPR State Capitol reporter with us to talk about the latest in the ongoing story of bills coming out of this extraordinary session of the legislature this week. They are waiting for Governor Walker's signature now.